Mr. Hennis, the Discovery Park of America employed your firm, Think Design, to dress the interior of this fabulous Louis Sirianni building with exhibits that are spectacular in description. Walk me through the building.
When you walk through the lobby, it opens up into this wonderful vista with this enormous human being made of steel tubing with a slide down one leg, three stories high, sort of opposite you at the far end of the Great Hall, as we call it, and dinosaurs down below you, a really wonderful exhibit of dinosaurs, some from the region and some from around the world. That sort of sets the tone. This is a museum that's really spectacular and really diverse. On the upper level, you'll see just a few edges peeking over of the astronomy exhibit. It has some models of spacecraft and satellites hanging over, and has quite an amazing planetarium. We call it the Interactive Starship. It's a truly interactive digital recreation of the universe that anybody in the audience can control from their seat. So it's a very unique planetarium. There's a gallery with regional history exhibits and also regional ecology with living exhibits of wonderful fish tank that has Real Foot Lake depicted in it and a number of cultural artifacts from the Real Foot Lake region. There's a Native American exhibit that looks back through close to 13,000 years of Native American artifacts that are found in the region. And then beyond your field of view, if you go through the museum, you'll see a natural history exhibit of geology and plate tectonics, how the Earth is formed. And maybe pass through a bookcase that slid to one side into what we call the Enlightenment exhibit. It's a vault of strange and wonderful things, including a suit of armor and all kinds of different artifacts. And if you pass through the other side of that, it's actually a kind of mechanics shelf on the other side. There's an exhibit of spectacular automobiles going back to W.C. Fields' 1927 Lincoln limousine. Beyond that is an exhibit of military history that's on two floors that starts with the Civil War and comes up to present-day conflicts, so military hardware, and particularly the story of soldiers in combat and the sort of personal experiences that people relate in relation to the material that's on exhibit.
How did all of this get pulled together? Where are all of these materials coming from?
This is a very special museum. It begins with one person's vision. Mr. Kirkland had the idea of sort of bringing the world to Union City and to Obion County and to the region so that people who don't have the opportunities he's had to travel all over the world all his life and see all of these different places and all of these different things, to be able to bring them closer to home and give people the opportunity to experience incredible diversity of, you know, what we have on this planet. And so it begins with him, and there are several things that are also quite unique about the way the museum was formed. So it's not just one person, even though it begins with him, but it's also a group of community members, about 250 people who volunteered to be on committees before we were involved with the project, by the way, who formed the ideas for the basic galleries. What did they want to have in a museum? What were they interested in seeing? And that formed the basis of creating the galleries. And then we came in and started working with each of the committees and with Mr. Kirkland to begin to shape what the experience would be like. So one committee had decided that they should have military history. Well, what does that really mean? How do you put that together? Or the group that wanted to do space science, what does that mean? What stories do we tell? What kind of experiences can you encounter there?
You'd made meetings with all of these folks and discussed the trajectory you would take after getting their basic idea?
Yes, we began with meetings with all of the different committees, and we sort of set back-to-back meetings over the course of several one-week trips down there. And from that, we began to develop some preliminary concepts. And as those concepts developed, we got feedback from the committees. In some cases, we realized that the things that people were really interested in were not exactly what they'd written, and so they were between the lines, and we began to sort of work on that. That's where the giant human came from. Originally, there had been a sort of strong focus on human health depicted as a human body, but it turned out that the real focus, they just thought it would be really cool to have this giant human, and we have a little bit of exhibitry about health, but it's primarily having this wonderful object there that people can engage with and play in. It's a museum that appeals in different ways to lots of different people and lots of different sensibilities, and I think that comes from the community involvement. It's something very rare in museums.
When you say it's very rare in museums, that speaks to my sort of surprise. This is a unique project for you.
Yes, it's a very unique project for us. We work on museums of all different types, and we've worked all over the world. And most museums are designed from the inside out. There's usually a group of curators who are experts in a field, and they have something that they want to show or they want to tell to people, and much of the process, at least as the museum envisions it, is to find ways of telling those stories. We always try to approach projects as well from the perspective of people who are going to visit, which often is a very different perspective, almost always is. People come to museums for a lot of different purposes, and learning what the curators want you to learn is rarely one of the things that people walk in with, you know, in their heads. Instead, they come in because they want to have a great time with the family, or they're curious about something, or they've heard it's cool. Often museums become kind of iconic, familiar places in a community, and there are certain things that people really enjoy doing that have nothing to do with what the curators intended, but in the process of design it usually originates with the curators. In this case, it originated with people who are going to use it, and that's a fundamentally different process. And then some of those people also were experts in a particular field, but most of them were just members of the community who were interested in the museum and were really experts at what they, as representatives of their communities, want. And so we then brought in subject experts where we needed additional help or did our own research to fill out the content.
There's sort of a sense of disbelief about this immense project rising from the flat fields outside of Union City, Tennessee. But initial press says the finished product could easily shine on Lakeside Chicago or in Manhattan. Is that your sense of it as well?
Yeah, this is a museum that can stand with other places. It has a very unique collection of exhibits, and it has a unique perspective, as all good museums should. But it's a serious place, and it's also a fun place. It stands proudly among its peers.
Now, I want to go back to one exhibit. In fact, will you have a theater experience recreating the sights and sounds of the New Madrid earthquakes of 1811 and 12?
Yes, the New Madrid earthquakes are really a very important part of the ecology in the region because of their role in the formation of Real Foot Lake. And both Mr. Kirkland and the committees and also we thought it would be great to be able to do something powerful and interesting to give people a sense of what that was like. Of course, you can never truly recreate an earthquake, but we've created a theater that's pretty much a theater in the round that has a motion base in it, so you can see and feel and, you know, sense a lot of what that might have been like. And it tells the story, I think quite well. And it should be a very exciting attraction.
Tell me about the floor tiles that make one feel as if falling into an abyss.
Well, we spent a great deal of time thinking about visual tricks that people would enjoy experiencing, particularly because Mr. Kirkland himself has a love of heights and a love of sort of vertiginous perspectives. So we created a floor system that creates the illusion of depth, one of many ideas we played with. And I suspect, because this is a man with a restless imagination, that this will change over time, and it will become more and more vertiginous as as time goes on. One of the great things about working with Mr. Kirkland is he's got a very sly, subtle sense of humor. He enjoys playing jokes, and he enjoys verbal games, and he enjoys visual games. And so I think that one of the things people will really notice about the place is that it really is playful. It has a sense of joy about experiencing the world, from the giant human to the way the dinosaurs are depicted to visual tricks that are embedded here and there in the project, like that one and an exhibit upstairs that's about optical illusions. This is a man who really takes joy in life and really wanted that sensibility to be present in this place.